Tyler, live events change lives. Just like when we gathered in October in Northern Virginia, Bell, a national 30 under 30 winner, walked in and said, I've been to all the conferences, all the trainings, all the events, but never in a room where people understood my heart and my work. And she said, my soul let out a sigh of relief. If that's something that you desire, then do not miss out. Our next upcoming conference in beautiful Greensboro, North Carolina, April 22nd to 23rd. Go to faithfulagent.com/conference and grab your tickets today. We will see you there. A grateful heart is a heart at rest. A grateful person is aware that he deserves nothing of all he possesses and enjoys. Because of this, he daily counts his blessings and is thankful for the little things that would otherwise be taken for granted. The unthankful person does just the opposite. He keeps telling himself that he deserves more than he has. Because of this, he is way more aware of what he doesn't yet have than of all the things he has been graciously given. This causes him to live an entitled and demanding life. Never quite satisfied, he easily justifies a wasteful and selfish use of money. The second ingredient is need. This is one of the most poorly and overused words in human culture. The majority of what we are able to tell ourselves we need, we don't actually need. We all are very skilled at loading our desires into our need category. And once we have, we think it's right to have these things. And therefore, it's appropriate to do what is necessary to possess them. From Redeeming Money, once again, by Paul David Tripp.
Mm. Nice.
Good man.
Nice.
Grateful heart, a grateful heart.
What was the first time that we talked about from that book?
I don't know, something about money, right?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
This book is a book that smacked me in the face. I just need to keep reading it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's really good. Man, but I got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a story real quick?
Just can't wait. Can't wait.
I was not grateful for this moment. But let me be super honest. So I come downstairs. I work on our third floor. Got my own space, and I come downstairs, and my two big kids, my 6 and 4-year-old, Hattie and Dylan, are outside playing right before rest time. They get a little extra time. They're running around playing outside. So I step outside into the backyard to say hi to my kiddos, and Hattie has this big like planter box, and she's pushing something out of the way, out of the front of her soccer goals. I'm like, what are you doing? Dylan, my 4-year-old son, standing there with a big smile on his face. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. And Hattie says, Dylan just pooped in the yard twice. And I'm like, what in the world? And so I say, Dillboy, we call him Dillboy, not Doughboy, Dillboy. And I say, Dillboy, what are you doing? And he said, Dad, I'm like Samson, our dog. He's like, I just wanted to be like Samson. So I pooped in the yard. And so Hattie says, Dad, there's planter boxes over both spots. So I look, there's another spot over here where there's a planter box over where he's. And I just haven't told Rachel yet because I'm like, I don't know that I want to tell her that because that's not going to go well. Right. And I was not grateful at that moment. I said, buddy, you know, you're not in trouble because I don't think I've ever actually said don't poop in the yard. So, you know, maybe you thought it was okay. Like, if you need to pee, that's fine. You're a boy. Do whatever you got to do, yeah. Right? Go in a bush.
Yeah.
But what? And he just says, I wanted to be like Samson. So I pooped in the yard. Mm. Like, I wish I could have seen it, right? Like, and it's not like by a bush. It's just in the middle of the yard. You just pull your pants down and poop. And like, Hattie was just watching. What in the world is going on?
So hair. This is a perfect parenting opportunity to teach him that he was created not in the image of Samson, but in the he was created as a boy.
You've never seen Daddy do that, right, buddy?
Yeah.
I hope not.
There you go.
Real question. Let's not do that. But he's ready to camp, you know, I guess, because he's already pooping in the woods.
That is not easy to do. Not that we're going to get off on a tangent here, but you know.
It's true.
Mobility.
Yeah, you're right. I'm actually kind of impressed. To
enough.
He didn't get it on him?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, that you saw.
Well, maybe he did. I honestly didn't check.
Yeah.
That I saw. Yeah. That let that be the wife. The wife can figure that one out.
No, that's since we're talking about funny boy stories in the backyard, some of my favorite. I mean, we I imagine a lot of parents have these similar stories, but there have been so many times where we've been maybe sitting out on the back deck and, you know, have some friends over and we're trying to, you know, maybe meet new people at the church. And there have been people, first time we've ever had them over to our house, we're sitting on the back deck and look out on the playground just in the backyard. And one of my boys is standing on the edge, just facing the back deck, peeing straight into the wind. Just like, you know, no shame. This is just how we do it at the house. Welcome over. You know, this
is, I'm a boy. Let it go.
You know, we talk about I'm a boy, let it go, which actually might pivot us into something that's valuable for our listeners here today is the difference in hospitality and I forget what the other, I was reading in a book as Habits of the Household, actually. You and I were recently been talking about this, but that's the difference in what hospitality and performance looks like. The difference in genuine hospitality is bringing somebody over and actually welcoming them into the chaos of the life that you live. Not that you shouldn't aim to discipline and have some degree of control and focus. Like anarchy is not a biblical concept, though we are predisposed to that in our sin. But that when you welcome somebody into your home and they get to see the authenticity of, you know, maybe a couple turds in the backyard or, you know, a kid with his pants around his ankles, like you're not, there's no embarrassment in that. Like that's kids. I mean, that's real. This is the life that we live. And that is, that's way more testifying to and connecting and community building to bring somebody into your home to see that and the toys strewn all over the first floor and, you know, stains all over the walls and a spill on the counter. Like that, like that's what welcoming people into the reality of that's hospitality. That's not performance. Is like, we're going to put the kids to bed. We're going to bring out the nice plates and we're going to pretend like we've got everything buttoned up. There's a place for that too, to love on people and create the space for that. But there's a big difference between the two. So that's just
100%. Well, I mean, it does go really well into, you know, one of the things that I read is the unthankful person does just the opposite. He keeps telling himself he deserves more than he has. Because of this, he's way more aware of what he doesn't yet have than all the things he's been graciously given. So he has an entitled and demanding life, right? So it is like, you know, why do my kids keep pooping in the backyard? I mean, that's a thing I'm going to figure out, right? But like, why does that keep happening? And it is, it's kind of, the he says a grateful heart is a heart at rest. I've been studying recently Psalm 131 because I've been just stressed out, right? You and I've had these conversations, stress out, anxiety stuff that I've never really experienced before. Studying through Psalm 131, King David says, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I do not desire things too great and too marvelous for me. But then he says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child on its mother, like a weaned child is my soul. Right? You know, the weaned child, newborn is freaking out, trying to eat and needs food, whatever. The weaned child is the one sitting there calm on mommy's lap. And I think about this, you know, when I met with one of my mentors not too long ago, I sit down with him and he just looks at me and says, Garrett, you don't look like you're at peace. Like, you got to figure that out, right? And it's this idea of like King David, who has all these things going on. He's calmed and quieted his soul, right? Paul David Tripp in the book says, a grateful heart is a heart at rest. Someone who is aware that he deserves nothing of all that he possesses and enjoys. He daily counts his blessings and is thankful for the little things that would otherwise be taken for granted. I think when we find, for me, when I find myself not at rest, it is this aspect of, I need to control the stuff. Like I need it. Exactly. I think it was a great point of hospitality versus, what was the word? Performance. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of like what we do in real life, right? I and I've talked to you about this again, but this performance sometimes that we just put on for people around us. I'm going to perform for you today, and therefore I'm going to pretend I'm this way, and everything's great or whatever's going on. I'm going to pretend that I'm this way because my heart's not at rest. I can't allow you to think anything other than all is good and well and perfect. Mm-hmm. Versus the hospitality of like even letting you into my own life or bringing somebody into your home, whatever you just said, is it's this gratefulness of, hey, even in the mess, it's a beautiful thing. Like what a gift it is. My wife and I this morning, and I want to kick to you, but we're joking about how we have to run the dishwasher every single night because we have so many humans in the house, right? And we're like, we need a way bigger dishwasher, right? And even then, we probably run it every single day. And for a second, it sounded like we were both kind of ungrateful, mm-hmm. right? And so I just said, man, but babe, but remember, right? But remember, it's because we have so many humans the Lord has blessed mm-hmm. us with. Amen. It's because we can afford dishes. Mm-hmm. It's because we eat three meals a day, not one that we have to, you know, and so it's just this reminder because it's so easy to get caught up in mm-hmm. paying attention to what our kids do it all the time, paying attention to what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And man, that's just in us. And I think gratitude is a buzzword maybe in today's world, but how many people actually practice true gratefulness mm-hmm. for the things that we've been given and not just the things that we deem as, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But the things that we look and say, well, the Lord's promise he will work for our good. So all of these things I can be grateful for.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, I mean, you nailed it on the, it's like this almost backward chaining. Gratitude requires an awareness of exactly what it is you have to be thankful for, right? Like it's almost not taking inventory from a comparative sense. Like I used to have this and now I have this. So I should be more thankful because we're called to be thankful in all things, grateful for all that we have because all is a blessing from the Lord. But there is this degree of just true awareness of the provision in your life, the answered prayers, the place that you are, you know, whether it's where you want to be or not, that there is reason to be grateful. Obviously, from a gospel perspective, and that, you know, to simply put, that we know the Lord, that we have a heart filled with the mm-hmm. Spirit and an opportunity to live a life dedicated to honoring Him and headed towards sanctification, towards a new creation. I mean, like, that's in the simplest form why we should be grateful every single day. But from a pragmatic standpoint, it is so easy to start moving the bar on what you're thankful for. You hear so many testify. Mm-hmm. I mean, even recently, you can have a conversation with somebody and say, man, you know, the Lord provided a home today. You know, I've been looking for, you know, the market's been really challenging. I've lost out on 5 or 6 offers and, you know, the Lord finally provided. I'm so thankful for this home that we have. Absolutely. You should totally be thankful for that provision and the ability to be in a home. But there are also people like, to your point, man, the Lord provided me enough money to put food on the table this week. The Lord provided me another job from a contractor situation that's floating week to week and trying to find ways to make money to provide that now I can buy dinner for my family or I can pay my rent because the Lord provided a job. So it's not a comparative sense. Everybody has pragmatic reasons to be thankful at every stage in their life. One of the most profound stories of being grateful no matter the circumstances comes from a book called The Hiding Place, and I'm really blanking on, do you remember, have you read that, G? I can't remember the author's name. It's a profound Christian story about a girl who was
Corrie Ten Boom,
yep, who lived in through the Holocaust, and she's in a concentration camp, and there is, I'm going to maybe leave gaps in this story, but there's a moment where she's in one of those cabins with, can't remember if it's a sibling or somebody else, and there are fleas everywhere, and they're trying to find places to gather and worship and read the Bible. They have, you know, they have their hands on a Bible that they, you know, shouldn't have. That's the reason that the genocide is occurring because of their Jewish ethnicity. And she is reminded by the people around her, or she says, to be thankful in all things. Like, I'm thankful for this flea-ridden bed that I live in. And ultimately come to find out that the guards never came through their cabin and they never understood why. And it was because the guards wouldn't go near the fleas, that they would leave them be so that they could read the Bible and worship and study together. And ultimately, it's such a power. There's so many layers to that I'm skipping out on, but it's just the power of, like, in a moment of just, this is a disaster. The consequences where I am, but ultimately the guards didn't come in there. It didn't lead to her death. She was able to worship the Lord because of these things that nobody wants anything to do with, but we're called in Scripture to be thankful in all things. And so I think that story just hit me as we live our lives, comparatively, like, not dealing with a flea-ridden bed and fear to worship the Lord, or if somebody's going to come and take me away to, you know, execute me. Like, it's not comparative, but it does provide perspective, and that is okay. Like, we're not comparing our lives to the challenge of that situation, but it's okay to have perspective on and learn from other people's stories, not make yourself feel high and mighty for the situation or circumstances or the provision in your life, but for perspective so that you can be reminded to be thankful in the moment where you lose a deal or you miss out on an offer, like whatever it is, that there is the next thing coming along. There's still something to be grateful for in the moment. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's so good. And one of the things that we've talked about on the show that I constantly come back to is in the Lord's immense kindness to us as believers in America, right? We are ungrateful, right? Mm-hmm. He has blessed us so much that our flesh just wants more. And he has allowed us to taste the world, right? And the good things that he's put in the world, good food, great homes, you know, cool vacations, cool stuff, nice cars, whatever it is, he has, in his kindness, allowed us to do those things. And it is in our flesh and our sin and the devil trying to distract us to say, yeah, but there's more out there for you to taste. Imagine if you had it all. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you could experience everything that the world has to offer. And I think if we're honest, a lot of us are like, sweet, let's do it. Right. You know, I want more. We talk about our scoreboard a lot. And one of the numbers on the scoreboard that should be there is financial, right? What are we aiming for financially? And I'm writing a talk, which it'll have passed at this point for this real estate summit I'm speaking at next week. And it's not a Christian event, but I'm trying to figure out how do I bring the gospel into this and how do I explain? But man, even as I'm writing it and I'm exploring my own heart, my own motivations for sharing these things, and I'm talking about the scoreboard again, I even continue to go back to the same thing over and over of, Lord, why is my financial goal this, right? Like, is that because that's what I believe is the way that I will honor you? And I've, you know, what's been interesting is I've consistently dropped that number, right? Now, we talked about before, if you have a great big financial goal, that's an awesome thing. If that's not what the world told you, but you believe that's what the Lord desires for you to aim for, awesome. Praise God for that. We can't tell you what that number is. But I've continued to bring mine down. Because as I search my own heart and think, why do I want to make that much? Why do I want to make that much? Why do I want to make that much? It's because I just say, well, all of these things that are within my reach, I can't afford yet. But when I can, it's going to be amazing, right? And now I don't. It's not like I walk around thinking that. I'm being honest with, as I search my own heart and I try to go deeper and deeper, like what's really there? It is this, as he says, we're all very skilled at loading our desires into our need category. And then we think it's right to have those things and it's appropriate to do what's necessary to possess them. So I think of financial freedom. Mm-hmm. I think of, you know, whatever it is. My buddy's got a Tesla and those things are cool. Like, I would like one, you know? I want to take my family on this amazing Europe vacation. These things in and of themselves, like you said, aren't bad things by any means. But I can become so confused with what do I need to make, right? What's my financial necessity versus what is required of me to provide for my family, which is a good thing. And so it causes me to take actions that I wouldn't normally take because I'm pursuing a quote need that isn't. Mm-hmm. And it's born out of an ungrateful heart, right? When we struggle with whatever it is that we're struggling with, pride certainly is it bears the child of ungratefulness, ingratitude, right? Mm-hmm. Because we look and we say, well, I should have more than that, man. And I think this idea of gratefulness, which, man, just talking about it, brother, I do not practice this well at all. And it's not a great rhythm in my life, a rhythm of gratitude, right? Of true gratitude that no matter what comes, we can say, Lord, thank you for this. This was part of your purpose. I'm grateful for it because even if I don't, I remember, and I've shared before, and then I'll kick it to you. My mom passed away October 2022. Later that month, I'm at my dad's house and I'm looking at what was her Bible. And she had stage 4 cancer for 8 years, right? And the Lord was really kind. And at the very end, it was pretty rough. But open up the inside flap of her Bible. And it says, there's a sticky note that in her handwriting that says, Romans 8 doesn't say that everything will be good, but it says that everything will work for our good. And it's my mom forcing her soul, her heart to say, be grateful, despite the challenge and the situation that we're in, to find gratitude for all the things that are going on and everything that is happening to her own body and her life and all the stuff that's happening to say, hey, it may not be good from our perspective, but it's for our good. And the Lord promises that. Therefore, I can be grateful. And I remember being significantly convicted by that, significantly grateful for my mom's faith, and significantly convicted by that. Because here's my mom in that stage of her life, and I'm the one not being grateful. And you know, gratefulness is not like, woohoo, my mom passed away. That I don't feel that way at all. But the gratefulness and the things of, Lord, what a gift, and this and that, and let me fill my mind with the things that you've given. So,
amen.
Hey everyone, we love the Faithful Agent community and we want to continue to give away and pour into you as much as we can, totally for free. One of the ways you financially support the work that we're doing is when you have a buyer or seller referral headed to Hampton Roads or Richmond, Virginia, send them to my team. Not only will you get great experience for your clients, you'll also be helping the mission of the Faithful Agent at the same time. Just go to faithfulagent.com/referral or text me 757-266-2876. Now, on to the show.
Your mom, Anne's testimony is incredible, continues to impact lives after she's gone as much as it did while she was here. She's such a gift. So thank you for reminding us of that and sharing that. That's so true. Man, it's difficult. You know, we can sit here and talk about this on a podcast, and I appreciate your honesty and how you've been convicted in that, but it is really difficult. So like, us talking together and to bring all the listeners like into the fold, we don't inherently do this. Like, I mean, scripture is abundantly clear that we don't have it within us to be grateful no matter the circumstance. Like there is just the inherent sin that we have pulls us away from a heart of gratitude inevitably. I mean, we see it in the disciples and how they act when Jesus is being pushed against and oppressed, and how he tells them to stand back, get behind me. I mean, like we see it in very tangible ways throughout scripture, and then we live it in our life. That's just not the hearts that we have when rooted in sin. I mean, praise God that we're being made new and ultimately that will go away in heaven as we are a complete new creation in him. But we just don't have that in us. And so let's to reel it back in. I mean, that's the larger picture of how, you know, this plays into the gospel. But from a day-to-day standpoint, it's impossible, again, as scripture would say, to worship both God and money. We can't have multiple idols. So if we think that money is going to be the vehicle to a heart of gratitude, if we think if we just make this or we just have this or we just do that, then we'll be thankful, then those are empty promises that we're making to ourselves. If we think I need to make this much money, and I've confessed this to you, G, we've talked about this. I confess sometimes I think I need to stay in this position or I need to make more money or because God's given me the talent and the capacity to do this so that I can take care of other people. You and I just talked about this the other day and how a brother just spoke truth to you that's not your responsibility. It's not your responsibility to be the financial provider for the entire church. If you're skilled and you've been given the opportunity and you're passionate about a vocation that pays you well, yeah, you have a responsibility to steward that well over your church, over your family and your church family, because you've been provided that talent and ultimately that vehicle to do that. But it's not necessarily our mission to go out and make a ton of money so that we can take care of everybody. If that's, I mean, again, in a clean mirror situation, if that is truly your heart and that's your mission and you're holding that with an open hand, man, kudos to you. Go for it. I love that. But the reality is that's just not all of us. And that we can sometimes use a selfish ambition. We can justify a selfish ambition through a godly command. And that's wicked. And I think we do that a lot. I mean, a big part of where gratitude dissolves or disappears as we go throughout life is the more money you make. I mean, it's lifestyle creep. The more money you make, the more I think I need a little bit. That need definition starts to shift. I need a little bit more. I need to make this much more money because I have this much bigger of a house or this because I have this Tesla or because we go out to eat this many times or because we have these vacations planned. And those things are not wrong. We're not saying that enjoying the fruits of the world, not the fruits of the world, but the fruits that the Lord has established in the world for our enjoyment, that that's a bad thing. Don't hear us say that at all. I confess mm-hmm. that I struggle with that. I am a Scrooge and sometimes think that I bury my talents too much rather than enjoying what the Lord has provided us for his glory and for our family's gain. He wants us to enjoy the provision that he's given us. He doesn't want us to indulge in the temptations of the world, but he wants us to enjoy good things that he has allowed and ultimately that are in his creation. But when we start thinking along the lines of, okay, I went on this, you know, short vacation. Now I want to go do this one or go do that one. Like, you have to take inventory of what your lot is. You know, everybody has been given a different lot in this world. And, you know, in reality, you know, we're not necessarily all made to go on lavish vacations, or we're not necessarily made to have fancy cars or, you know, even own homes. Like, as much as we believe in that stewardship, is all of those things are a component of stewardship, a lot of us have been cast different lots. I mean, that's why I think about what my kids tell me, you know, oh, that's not, anytime I hear them say, that's not fair, or like, he got two, like, I didn't get two, that's not fair. That is not allowed in our house to say the words, that's not fair, because again, everybody has been blessed with different lots and different talents. I mean, I'm going to try to treat my kids as fairly as possible. Like, keep this in our circle. Don't tell my kids I told you that. I'm obviously going to treat them as fair as possible. But we've all been given different levels of talents, different financial talents, different, you know, talents that the world ultimately quantifies and how it pays you. And that doesn't mean that you should bury the ones that maybe the world doesn't value as much so that you can go out and make more money. It's challenging to discern that, because the world's not affirming you with a paycheck for something that is sowing fruits for the kingdom all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can, mm-hmm. I mean, but you gotta, those are not mutually exclusive. I mean, and that's a convicting question that I struggle with all the time.
Mm. I think definitely a lot of thoughts, because it's really good. It is fascinating having young kids, because you see what they do because they don't have self-control is also what I do. I just control it better or I cover it better.
Right?
And you're like, why are you upset? We just played for an hour. Now you're mad that we're done. Just think about all the good stuff.
Right.
And then you're like, bro, but where did my son learn that from? he didn't learn the pooping in the yard from me. To be clear about that. But where did he learn it? He saw it from us. You know, a couple quick things, because I know this episode's going a little bit longer, but a couple quick thoughts. So everything you said, spot on. I think about the Israelites. They're wandering around in the desert. The Lord had just saved them. And the Lord is literally raining down bread and these birds for them, literally from the sky. Like, you look up and you're like, hey, it's bread coming. I mean, and they're like, yeah, but what have you done for me lately? He's like, it's bread from the sky. Right. It's coming. Right. Look up. It's right there. Right. And that's who we are, because it is, yeah, but I would rather have the steak, or I would rather blah, 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 or I would X, Y, and Z, right? And it is so easy to look and say, well, I want their lot. I don't, you know, they wanted to go back to Israel or back to Egypt, right? Like, that's crazy when you look at those people. But if I forget to read scripture and think, well, that's my heart too, then I'm just going to go around not protecting the things that I allow to come into my mind and the things that I allow to come into my heart, right? So that story always blows my mind. One thing that I'll share that I've been chewing on recently and convicted by is, and I think I mentioned to you, but a couple of days ago, just the Lord's Prayer comes to mind. And in particular, the part where it says, give us this day our daily bread. Mm. And I remember thinking, Lord, and confessing to the Lord as I've wrestled through Psalm 131, right? I do not desire things too great or too marvelous for me. That's King David. I'm like, yeah, but I totally do that, right? I want all this stuff that isn't meant for me, but that's my heart. And so it's not calm and quiet. Mm-hmm. But as I thought about, give me this day our daily bread, give us this day our daily bread, I thought, man, but I really asked the Lord, like, give me 6 months of bread today, you know? Or will you give me like at least a week? Yeah, and not just one day. I want more than that. But the beauty is, I've just tried to chew on it a little bit. That's funny. Chew on the bread. Anyways, doesn't matter. That's not actually funny. Yeah. We should do jokes again. Anyways, I'm getting off topic.
Okay.
Probably not. Yeah, I feel like things have been, I don't know. It doesn't matter. Maybe. Okay, all right. But anyways, the point is, with the daily bread, it's this reminder of the Lord is going to give me exactly what I need for this day. Mm-hmm. And it's in his kindness to say, and you can come back tomorrow and I will give you more for this day, for that day, for that day, for that day, right? when we have this ingratitude, it is, no, I need more for this day, right? If you did not give me my daily bread, you left something out. And it is this heart attitude of which, man, I hate that I have too often, of not going to the Lord and saying, Lord, this was my daily bread and I praise you for it. Something went wrong on that deal. This was my daily bread for whatever reason, right? As believers, we should understand in such a deeper way that when deals go wrong or you lose a client or, you know, home inspection goes bad or whatever, and the commission check gets cut in half or whatever happens, that unlike the world that can only say, what, how did that happen? I am angry. I can't believe that happened. What a terrible thing. We know Christ and we can say, for whatever reason, Lord, this was my daily bread. And just like my mom wrote, it doesn't mean everything's going to be good, but it means it'll be for our good. And therefore we can rejoice. Therefore we can be grateful for the client that we lose out on, for having to take a pay cut, for whatever is going on in this industry, which lots of bad things happen. Mm-hmm. We are uniquely set up to be grateful in all things, as you've said, because at the end of the day, have we already been guaranteed the prize, the real prize? And the answer is yes. There's victory in Christ. He already has declared that he has victory. There's no battle still going on. I mean, there is, but it's not a war that's waiting to be decided. Mm-hmm. He's declared victory. And guess what? He also has guaranteed for us an inheritance that will be with him. And so if, as I think about Paul, who says, I consider all things as rubbish compared to knowing Christ, which, man, I pray that the Lord would make that my heart and your heart and our listeners' heart. Because of that, he can look and say, how can I not be grateful? The thing that I really want, I have been given. And so therefore, I am grateful. Mm. Therefore, I have gratitude. For us, man, I think if we're honest, we say, yeah, but all this stuff in the world that I also kind of want, I don't really consider those rubbish. Because I don't have those two, I can't fully be grateful in my heart, right? So man, that the Lord would give us that kind of mind. So take us out, buddy. What do you think? And wrap us up?
Man, I think this is a great one. I really enjoy this. I feel like we could have talked a lot about a bunch of different things. But I think I would encourage, this is where, I mean, to leave with kind of a practical note, and I'm not good at this, again, disclaimer, where folks, my wife is amazing at this, where she has kept prayer journals for ever, where she'll go back and read prayers from when we were engaged or when we first met, you know, 13, 14 years ago, and talk about, and you can read the prayers over our marriage and over our children and through the season of life when we struggled to get pregnant, to, you know, read the prayers over a healthy baby. And not that, you know, being grateful is always about answered prayers, but there is, it is great perspective. And when you can go back and see the ways that the Lord has shown up in your life, when you've created the space to say, God, I need you and I'm thankful no matter what, it puts into perspective the times when you're like, man, these kids are all over me right now. And I can't, like, we'll think back to 7 years ago when you would have done anything to have a baby and God bless you with two that almost killed you, but that you can still be grateful for. It's perspective because we are, our memories are so short term. We only think about the future. We only want more, and the floor that's beneath us, it keeps moving our expectations. And anytime we take a step down or a step back, we're frustrated by it. And we're not thankful for maybe the opportunity that the challenge presents, or maybe even the good that the Lord is sowing in that. This life is not a Jesus take the wheel lifestyle. We have the opportunity to see God show up and meet you exactly where you are, and knowing that he's exactly right where you are, that you can be confident of that, that he is right there alongside you. Praise God for that truth. So I just leave us with saying, we're not good at being thankful. None of us here are. But again, this is where a sense of community, where we can hold each other accountable, maybe rebuke hearts for ungratitude, rebuke hearts of pride that are searching for things that are, you know, of missed, can be important. And that's what this is all about. So thanks for listening.
Two things really quick, buddy. Yeah. Sorry, just cut you off. First thing is, I hope that you all will join us at the conference April 22nd and 23rd, genuinely. Faithfulagent.com/conference, because exactly what you just said, buddy. we need to be in community with one another. This is how we grow. This is how we encourage. This is how we challenge one another, is to be in community with people. And that's what we want. Someone asked me today, is there a virtual option? No. Why? Because the fellowship is the most beautiful aspect of gathering together. So please come, faithfulagent.com/conference. I would love to see you there. I know Tyler would too. The second thing is, don't poop in the yard. We love you, Faithful. We love you, Faithful Agents. We'll see you next week.
Best exit ever.
Hey, Faithful Agents. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope it encouraged you to both grow your business and your faith. And as always, make sure you share this episode with a friend who you think would be encouraged by it. And join us on our Facebook group, if you aren't there yet, to come together with the other Faithful Agents around the country. Just go to Facebook.com and search The Faithful Agent. And if you want to be encouraged more locally, because after all, local groups is where the real growth and change happens, go to faithfulagent.com/local groups to check out what we've got going on. And if there isn't a group near you, you can reach out to us right there and tell us you're interested in starting your own. Thank you, as always, for tuning into this episode. We hope to see you next week.